All right. Welcome to Investment Banking Insights. This is the only show dedicated to helping you learn both the technical and non-technical aspects of the investment banking process. Hello, my name is Alex Mason and I am your host. So thank you so much for joining me today. I want to talk to you about proxy statements. Now, we've been going through the steps of a precedent transactions analysis, and in the process of doing that, we're uncovering a lot of little details in terms of how we actually do this. And so I want to take the time to break down these individual concepts as we're going along. And even if we've mentioned these terms before here and there, I want to repeat them because it's worth it for learning and actually going a little bit deeper and focusing on these specific topics. So when you're looking for deal-related info, that is the next step in a precedent transactions analysis. After you've got your companies together, your universe of companies, after you have thought about how the purchase price is impacting the deal when you're actually looking at these comparable acquisitions, now how do you find the deal-related info? We talked about databases and things like that, but I want to hone in on proxy statements. What is a proxy statement? Well, a proxy statement is an official document that publicly traded companies file with the Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, when they plan to undergo a merger or acquisition. So it's essentially this official document that says, hey, look, SEC, we're doing this deal. Here's all the details. And this is just important for regulatory purposes. Now, there's two versions of this document, actually, and I didn't know this until I was preparing for this episode, is there's actually a preliminary proxy statement and a definitive proxy statement. The preliminary proxy statement is called PREM 14A. That's the name of the document, PREM for preliminary. And then the definitive proxy statement is called DEFM 14A. DEFM for definitive. So effectively, you got these two versions because, of course, things happen over the course of when a deal is announced and when a deal is actually closed. So you can imagine the preliminary document is going to have some initial information, but you could have months or even over a year pass before the time a deal is announced and a deal actually closes just because of regulatory issues, and the consideration could change, the market could change, the two parties could come up with a completely different agreement. So that's what the definitive proxy statement is for. It's like, okay, now we're actually doing the deal, it's been approved, and we're going to go about it this way. So those are the two documents. So what can you find within the proxy statement? Well, you can find out so much about a deal. And I was reading my first proxy statement in detail about a month ago, and it was really enlightening. I just learned so much about what was going on with this deal, what the thesis was behind it, all sorts of things. But in summary, this is what this document is going to tell you and help you with. First of all, it's going to give you this overall summary and background of the deal. It's going to help you understand the basics of what's going on. Which company is acquiring which other company? Are they acquiring it in whole or are they buying part of it? What is the background? It'll even get you information about the discussions back and forth between the executives. Like, CEO of company A had a conversation with CEO of company B and proposed the deal. And CEO of company B then went back to their board on this date and laid out the plan. Like, you'll get the whole storyline effectively of what happened. And so that can really inform how you think about the deal. You'll also get some information in terms of the financial analysis that's used, which is basically evidence for what's called the fairness opinion. And we talked about this a little bit before in prior episodes, but the fairness opinion, effectively, you have the investment bank that's assisting the company, advising the company in this deal. Let's say they're assisting the target company that's getting acquired. And so they're going to give a fairness opinion to that target company to say, look, based on our models and our analysis, you should take this deal, you should not take this deal, or maybe you should counter with these terms and this price. And you can find that information within the proxy statement. You might also see pro forma financial data, or summary financial data to go along with that, which can help you see how management of both of the firms see the combined finances of the firm going forward in terms of what their projections are. And that can be super helpful if you're doing some kind of analysis in a precedent transactions analysis, because then you have that pro forma data and you can say, okay, this is what was paid for this deal based on these growth assumptions. And so do I want to change my assumptions for my deal or not based on what I'm looking at? So that's another thing that can be helpful. And another thing the proxy will tell you is it'll have a copy of what's called the purchase agreement. And the purchase agreement, it's basically a legal contract that says, hey, this company is going to buy this other company, and here are the terms. This is where you get the lawyers involved who help make sure that all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, all the relative terms in the deal are agreed upon by both parties so that it is a legally binding contract. And you want to make sure this is right, right? Because especially if a company is being sold for tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of dollars, you've got to make sure that all the terms work for both parties. So you'll get a copy of the purchase agreement within the proxy statement as well. So those are the major sections of the proxy. Now, one interesting thing to note here as we close here is that an acquisition involving a public company, it won't always trigger the filing of a proxy statement for shareholders to vote on the deal. So we know that shareholders own the company, right? Like shareholders are entitled to the profits and losses of a business. And so if the board of directors wants to do something major in terms of a major decision for the company, they will often have to go to the shareholders to vote on it. Things like executive compensation, things like the composition of the board itself, like voting for or against or abstaining for certain directors to be on the board. Those are things that shareholders vote on. Now, an interesting wrinkle here is that if the company is buying the target either completely with cash or debt, or is issuing less than 20% of its pre-deal share count, it doesn't have to file a proxy statement for its shareholders to vote on it. And that's something that I thought was pretty interesting that I didn't know before my research. The reason for this is that the listing rules on the NASDAQ and New York Stock Exchange, they basically allow for this. So for example, if a public company wants to buy another company and just use cash for it, it typically doesn't need the shareholders' approval. So just another tidbit for you there in terms of how the mechanics of these things actually work. Okay, that's what I got for you today here on Investment Banking Insights. I hope you have an incredible day or evening, and I'll see you next time. Take care.